In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to take you back now in a moment. Do you remember the song from the late 1980s, early 1990s? And I'm going to put it, and it's going to get in your head now, so you can't blame me, because I heard it this week and it got stuck in my head. I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walks 1,000. Yeah, now the song's in your head. Sorry. But it made me think, what would you walk? All right, let's put it in today's terms. What would you drive 100 miles for? Growing up in California, you drive 100 miles, you're going to get milk and to fill up your car on the way back home. It's just how we were out there. But what would you drive 100 miles for? I want you to think of that because we're going to come back to that question a little bit later. You see, most Christian individuals admit that their prayers are not a satisfactory part of their spiritual lives. Some may pray in the morning and at night out of habit, mumbling certain words, maybe certain thoughts, or maybe certain phrases, or maybe certain prayers that you were told to say when you were young and you never changed them and they just stayed the exact same. And sometimes our hearts aren't even there when we're praying to God. Somehow, for some reason, it's so difficult to really talk to God in prayer, and then we complain or we wonder about feeling His power and His presence. The reason is that many don't want to learn how to pray well and regularly. Some might even don't want to pray at all, and they just use God as that genie lamp. God, please help me. You see, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, if we open up the book of Scripture, we can find many examples of those blessed ones who knew the power and the presence of personal and community prayer. Many individuals are found in the Old Testament. There is Abraham, who was a man of great faith, pleading with God to save the people of Sodom. And finally, God goes along with him. And then we hear about a person named Jacob as he wrestled with an angel of God all night long, even wrestling with God. This means that he was moving around in prayer, and at any rate, the angel at one point said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob answered, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." You see, that perseverance was shown by Jacob for us to follow. Now you might say, "Well, what does that have to do with me today?" Well, today we hear in the gospel passage about a woman who was wrestling in her own life with God until God blessed her. As we know, our Lord was always walking with His disciples and teaching and those wanting to have them healed. And there, this woman, who was a Canaanite woman. Now, you have to remember, the Canaanites were seen as the farthest of the far in those in the Jewish past. They were the ones that were just excluded. And it's not just a Canaanite woman or a Canaanite person, but a woman of Cana. So she comes up and she says, the plea that any parent can say, "Lord, have mercy on me, Son of David, for my daughter is very sick with an evil spirit." Notice the expression of her plea, though. As parents, those of you that are parents, you know that you will do anything for your children. You'd rather be sick than have your child be sick. You would rather have going through hard times than to have your child go through hard times. Because, and guys, let's face it, us as men, we do not know the pono that women feel. You want to talk about being equal or right? It's not fair. It's not fair for me. When I see my children have a situation, I don't know the pono that my wife feels, their mother, because she carried them in her womb for that time. And that connection that we as men will never have, nor will we ever understand it. But that beautiful connection, you can see this woman goes the length and says, have mercy on me. Not have mercy on my daughter. She says, Lord, have mercy on me. And here we see a true mother's love for her child as she makes the child's own agony her own. This identification with a child's pain is the true hallmark of any true parenthood. Here, though, Jesus did a strange thing. He heard her, yet at first he ignored the poor woman's cry. Yet she would not be put off. However, and continued to cry out to the Lord, she bothered his apostles too until they finally said, can you do something about her? Plain English terms. She's annoying us. Just brush her aside. And you might say, what kind of compassionate Lord would have this woman go through this? But see, our Lord was teaching. He could have healed her right away. But he was teaching the apostles while listening to the plea of the mother for the apostles to have patience and to make sure that they do not ignore or push away the cries of those who are in need. So he uses her as an example. And he says to her, I am not sent but to those of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Lord is saying this because of the Hebrews. They were the chosen people of God in the Old Testament. And that he doesn't want to have anything to do with people that aren't following the way. Anyone who was not following the law was an outsider of faith, not just of faith and belief, but of nationality as well. This was further testing the woman. Of course, the Lord was not going to send her away, but he was separating believer from non-believer. Again, we hear the woman who will not be put off. Instead, we hear that she falls down on her knees in despair and worships the Lord right then and there. And there she worships Christ and simply says the most beautiful words any person can ever say to God, Lord, help me. Though the evangelist does not add anything more than those words, chances are she probably said it with a shaky, loud, but with tears in her eyes. This woman simply would not take no for an answer, as she believed that Christ would be able to help her child and to have her stop wrestling and to have that healingness come upon her. Christ then throws another, what we would say, roadblock or teaching moment, as he said, it is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. By children, Jesus meant the chosen people of God, the Hebrews. And what do you think he was referencing by dogs? Well, he meant the neighboring heathen people, the Gentiles, the ones who were living scot-free, not caring about God or doing anything godly. Now we understand what that statement means a little bit. For most people, this would have been enough. Most people would just pick up their belongings, turn around and leave, but not this mother who was fighting by her love and expression in front of all to God that she was not going to give up in her prayer to God. Then suddenly she sees the perfect, not answer, but response to the Lord, and she says it with all humility. She says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." As she said this, she said, "I am not a child of God in the sense of belonging to God's chosen people, so I cannot plead and ask for bread, but give me a crumb. Give me a crumb of your healing, a little bit. And even if it's just a little crumb that nobody else can see, I can see she'll be made well." This does it. Christ yields to this amazing display of faith and humility and courage and persistence. And he says, "Woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you just as you have willed." And her child was healed by Christ at that very moment. So we can learn three things from the short gospel passage of 8 verses today. One was the great woman's faith. Though she was an outsider, a heathen, she came to a remarkable faith in Christ. And that shame that might have been her family background was now completely put aside, and her faith and trust was in God. The second thing was her testing. Our Lord seemingly used every device not to break her, but to challenge her in her beliefs. Yet the woman got stronger and stronger and stronger, and she passed with flying colors. Number three, and the final, great was her reward. Her daughter was healed. Not only that, but she left the Lord strengthened in faith and love in Him. You see, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what we hear today in the gospel in about perseverance and struggle and fighting forward. Now, you remember, I asked you a question early on that I got a song in your head. What would you do to drive 100 miles for? You see, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, as we leave today, please reflect on these questions. When, if ever, have you acted like the woman, the mother in this story? Have you ever acted like the disciples in the story? Just get away. Tell her to stop. Our Lord didn't walk just 100 miles, didn't walk 500 miles. Our Lord walked out of His way to heal this person. And as you leave today, how has God done that in your life for you and for others? And the final question, how has God done it through you in order for you to do it through others? Amen.